Matthew 24 this morning, and thank you for joining us and for being so faithful, bringing your Bibles. Matthew 24, I want to look at this morning a little bit about how to avoid or beware of deception. Deception can come to all of us in the Christian faith as we look at. And we know that through Scripture, Jesus warns us repeatedly about deception and being deceived. And so we'll be warned about that, being deceived. Has anyone ever ordered something online or done something of that nature? Ordered something that you expected to be bigger or better, and when it arrived, you laughed at it. You know, all of Brother Adam does that all the time. He orders stuff, and I've done it so many times. I ordered one time, I remember, ordered this book, and I wanted this book, and I thought, man, this is a great book. And it was kind of overpriced, and it was for me, it was like 20 bucks or something. I thought, good night, this little book, you know. Well, I thought it was a big book, and I ordered it, and I thought, this is awesome. I ordered it. It's a hardback book, and I ordered it. I bit the bullet, and I said, I'm just going to get it. I get it, and it arrives, and no joke, it was 3x3. I mean, it was that. And I looked at it, and I looked at the receipt, and I said, this can't be right. And sure enough, I went back, and it gave the dimensions. It was, and I missed that one, and I was so disappointed. But I got through it quickly. I read through it pretty quick. I was so disappointed. And you folks have probably done that before, too, or gone somewhere, and you've been deceived, or I should say duped into something. And you know, as our Savior said, we are not to be deceived. Not to be deceived. Now notice verse number 4 here of our text. And Jesus, he says, answered and said to them, take heed that no man, there's our word here, deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. We see here, verse 11, notice, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Deceive many. So we know throughout Scripture, Jesus warns us repeatedly about deception. Notice verse 24. Verse 24, he says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we can be deceived if we're not careful. And again, coming back to the emphasis of knowing the Word of God, knowing the Bible, knowing the truth again, and we see that. I reminded of the story of the boy. He came to his pastor one day and he said, Pastor, you're not going to believe it. I found the girl of my dreams. She's beautiful, she's smart, she's funny, she's everything. And the pastor's listening, you know, kind of some of that young puppy love, and he's going, it'll never last, you know, he's thinking. And he says this and that, and he said, Pastor, you won't even believe it. She even told me that I'm intellectual, I'm smart, I'm funny, I'm good looking, I'm strong. He said, now, son, you probably don't want to date a girl who's going to deceive you right off the bat, you know. Be careful about deception today, because we have it. Now, the Bible gives a clear warning against the dangers of deception. We're warned against it. It is possible for us to be deceived and thereby get ourselves into serious trouble. Serious trouble. Moses warned the Israelites in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. Listen to this. He says, take heed to yourselves that your hearts be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, which they did. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. It was a fair warning, and they still failed, didn't they? He said, listen, God's going to bless you, going to take care of you, give you everything that you need, and they still failed. Isn't that like us today, though? We have all that we need in the Bible, and he says, I'll bless you, I'll take care of you, I'll provide for you, and yet we still go, well, I think I'll do it my way. I think I'll do it my way. We can be deceived. Now, Paul expressed his concern, as you know, in the New Testament for believers. Romans 16, verse 17, listen, he says, now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary, notice, to the doctrine which ye've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. He continues in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So men in the latter days, you know, will deceive, but they're also themselves deceived, right? They will deceive other people, but they're also deceived themselves. They don't know the truth. And you know that. Every cult and false religion out there today starts out by taking this book right here and shutting it. We don't need this book. If you have one of these Bibles in your home today that's shut, you're in trouble. And I'm in trouble, because we've got to know the Bible. And those false religions and false cults come back and they say, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it my way. And then I'm going to deceive other people. As we know clearly throughout especially American history. Deceive, the word deceive means to lead away from the truth and into error. There's always the danger of deception. For the unsaved, the danger is losing all and going to hell. They go to hell because they are deceived about the truth of God. For believers, the danger is in wasting our lives and going to heaven empty-handed and ashamed before Christ. Believers are deceived. Many unbelievers remain deceived. And that's what he's talking about there in 2 Timothy. When a believer is deceived, unsaved people remain deceived because we're not reaching them right. We're not reaching them with the gospel. We're not helping them and showing them the truth, showing them the way. That's why we are so likened, as Jesus did, to us as a light and as salt. Distinction. They see it. And the smallest bit of light in the pitch blackness you can see, right, for a mile away. Smallest light. That's what God's asking us to be. So again, avoiding deception. A couple things here this morning about that. And I know you folks are very strong in your Bible and you know your Bible, but it's very good caution and a warning to each one of us. Deception, we know, originated with Satan. Satan says, I'll lift myself up. Jesus came and said, I will humble myself. Deception starts with Satan, our adversary. And many people laugh at Satan. They mock at him. They say he's not real. As you know, just recently, the Jesuits, an order of the Roman Catholic Church, Jesuit priests came out and said, well, we don't believe in a literal hell, and we don't believe a real Satan is out there. It's just, you know, a lot of this. I heard another pastor who's of more of the maybe more liberal or emergent side. He came out and said, about 10 years ago, and he said, hell is not a real place. It's when you go through difficulty on this earth. That's hell. And that's straight from Satan. That's exactly what Satan wants them to believe, isn't it? You don't need Christ. There's no hell. There's no Satan. There's no consequences for your sin. You live how you want. You do whatever you want to do and you'll be fine. Deception originated, you know, with Satan. Satan is a master deceiver. He's a master deceiver. Now he's likened to that and he's named that in scriptures. Revelation 12 and verse number 7, and when there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with deceiveth the whole world. Isn't that what he does? Deceives. He gets us. He tries to throw us off track. Tries as a believer, get us away from the Bible, away from church, away from serving him, away from humility. Now he seeks, number one, to corrupt our mind. You know that. He seeks to corrupt our minds. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians here real quick and see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, the whole chapter is a great chapter to memorize or to try and study, do a word study, do a verse-by-verse study through the chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Great, great, great verse. Verse 3, notice 2 Corinthians 11, 3, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another gospel whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He goes on, verse number 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. He says, this is my goal. This is what I want. But notice verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's a lot of Christians today, especially in mainstream Christianity, right? They're deceiving people. It's a wonderful, beautiful song they sang about Christ and all this, and they love the Lord. But when it comes down to it, they don't even know how to explain what Jesus said. They don't know the Word of God. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Again, I said it, but again, everything that glitters ain't gold. And everyone that says, I love Jesus, is not a true Christian. Oh, I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, and her song is so awesome. And it just lifts me up. Be careful about it. I want to know what they believe. I want to know where they're coming from. Now, thinking about this, he deceives and he corrupts our mind. It's part of the image of God. We know that. Colossians 3, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, notice, after the image of him that created him. Our minds ought to be the mind of Christ. You know that. It's part of Christ. As you think about it, he's trying to corrupt our minds, get us away from that. I heard a story recently about a couple fellas in the insane asylum. They were crazy guys, you know, and they were there in the insane asylum. And one night it was dark and one of them said, I'm Napoleon. I said, oh, okay. So another crazy guy yelled out, well, who told you that? He said, well, God told me that. Another guy down the row said, no, I didn't. Bunch of insane guys. I don't know. That was funny to me. Okay. But he seeks to corrupt our minds. And that's so many today that think that they are part of God and they're not truly saved. And Satan's at work trying to use those people to deceive many because, secondly, it's where God communicates his truth and his will to us. Talking about the mind. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Your mind. As we think about, Christ wants your mind because he reveals himself in a lot of ways to us. We know that. He believes that he can corrupt us, Satan. He directs and tries to direct who we are, tries to direct us. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he can get us thinking the wrong way, he can get us to move in the wrong direction. And begin to think about that. And that's why I caution all of us against listening to certain people, listening to people who try and explain the Bible that are not truly saved. You ought to get in the Bible yourself and know the Bible yourself and study the Bible for yourself so that you know that, because he's in the business of corrupting our minds. He uses lies, let me say. He uses lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He lies. Later, John will say in 1 John chapter 2, what does he say? He that saith he knows Christ and does not prove or show, right, keep his commandments, he's a liar. And that's directly from Satan. Satan's a liar. He's trying to deceive us. And we think about that because of who he is. And I think about that. I have a responsibility here as I stand behind this old pulpit that I was given and to preach the truth and to preach to you and let you know. And you may not want to listen, you may not feel like listening, you may be half asleep, and that's fine, but I have a responsibility and give account for that. That Satan's a liar. He's going to deceive you. And as soon as we think, what does Paul say? He that thinketh he standeth, or is standing, is strong, take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. So we think about it, corrupts our minds, he uses lies. Bald-faced lies. You think about with Eve, Genesis 3. He questioned the word of God. He questioned God's goodness. It's subtle imitations of another gospel. Galatians 1:8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. You ever thought about that? Paul says, if we or an angel from heaven comes down and says, listen, I know Paul said it this way, but I'm an angel from heaven. And I'm telling you, it's not just by faith. It's something you must add to it. It's amazing to me. Preach any other gospel than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Literally, accursed, put aside, damned. Now we think about that. Many people today say that. Oh, I saw a vision, I saw an angel. Make sure of it. Make sure it's the right angel. And it doesn't coincide again with the scripture. Beware of that. Be very aware of that. Again, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 in particular. Ephesians 5 talks about the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, there are certain characteristics that come. Colossians 3 talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, talking about the Bible. And when the Bible is in you and you're reading about certain characteristics happen. And do you realize both are the exact same characteristics in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5? Meaning that when the Spirit and the Bible will never contradict each other, they both produce the same characteristics. They both produce the same qualities, the same convictions. And people say, well, I know what the Bible says, but the Spirit says this. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. And you can look it up for yourself today. The Bible, the Spirit of God, the author of the Bible, the Word of God we hold today with us, is the very Holy Spirit of God. Now, he uses men and women, talking about Satan again. He uses men and women. Jesus warned us again. He says, let no man deceive you in our text. Let no man deceive you. The deception comes from men, from women around us. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, that's immature babies, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes our way. Do you realize there's a new doctrine out today? And there was a new doctrine out last year? And there was another doctrine out back in 98 and 89 and 78? All kinds of. I mean, remember when Christ was supposed to return in 1989 or was it 88? Coming back in 88 or something? And then it was supposed to be in 2002. And then it was supposed to be... Listen, trust the Bible, read the Bible, study the Word of God. Every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're lying in wait to deceive. And the adversary comes and his cohorts and his little demons come, and they don't pick off the strongest guy in the church or woman in the church that knows the Bible and studied the Bible last night, Saturday night, and spent time in prayer this morning. He picks off who? The weaklings. The one that's in the back of the pack that's struggling to keep up. He's picking them off. And I'm giving you fair warning against that. He uses men and women to deceive. They will seduce you, as he says in 2 Timothy 3, and they will deceive. False teachers, they delight to deceive. They delight in deceiving. 2 Peter 2 describes that for us. Many shall follow their pernicious way, meaning highly injurious, destructive, deadly. That's what pernicious means. Deadly, injurious ways. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and they shall make merchandise of you. The way of truth shall be, isn't that today? The way of truth is evil spoken of. Doing right is uncouth. It's uncool. Doing good is not smart, the world says. It's not fun. You're not popular. A child, I mean, you take a child and put them into the public school system, and we have so many people we know that their children are in the public school system, but you teach your kids to do right, love the Lord, and read the Bible, and send them off, they will be literally cast out of that public school. They'll be mocked, won't they? They'll be thrown out as an outcast. Oh, they don't know. They're weird. They're strange. You think about it. That's our world today. The way of truth, evil spoken of, and they make merchandise of you. False apostles transforming themselves, as we read here in 2 Corinthians 11, into the apostles of Christ. I won't go into detail there. We already read it. But transforming themselves. They don't come to us. Again, I'm talking about deception this morning. They don't come to us with a black hat on, horns sticking out, and a pitchfork, do they? They don't come to us scary looking. I'm here to deceive you, child. No, what do? They come to us as an angel of light. Hey, I came to tell you guys a new truth. I had a vision last night. I wanted to let you all know it. But the Bible says, never mind that. Never mind that. We don't need that. I listened to a fellow the other day on television. I don't think he used one verse. I think he used one verse to start out his message. And then the 45 minutes, rest of it, was his own about what he did, all these stories he had and putting all these things and how he did this and that and what we should do, his own philosophy, how he feels. Again, we got to be careful. Deception, deception. And this, my friends, again, is our sword. It is our weapon. It is our tool. It is to keep us in line. As Amos said, he said what? What'd you say, Amos? What'd he say? A plumb line, right? It's our plumb line. It's our measuring stick. It is what we come back to. It's our tape measure. We say, well, you're off a couple inches. You go, no, I'm not. And they pull out the tape measure and go, yeah, look. Oh, you're right. You're right. We need the Bible. We need it. Now, let me say here quickly, deception can be self-imposed as well. Not only do we have an adversary that's working to deceive us, but it can be self-imposed. There are many people, things that can deceive us. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 1, the proverb of the day, by the way, today, Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever, notice, is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. That's a complete opposite from the world, isn't it? It's all about beauty. It's all about vanity. Boy, if you're just a godly girl, that's no good. Bible says the opposite. Favor is deceitful. That means popularity. Popularity will deceive you. Attention you receive from people will deceive you. Beauty's vain. Woman feareth the Lord shall be praised. Obadiah 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Again, talking about Esau there. As you recall in Obadiah, he says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived you. And pride always deceives one person, yourself. You think, well, I'll deceive people. I'll do whatever I want to do. No, it'll deceive you. Deceive you. Now you think about that. Be careful. Pride always deceives the person. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We are deceived by these things. We deceive ourselves. The Bible gives us severe warnings against self-deception. The deceitfulness of riches. The Bible says clearly in 1 Timothy 6, you know, they that will be rich fall into yada, yada, yada. It's not those that are rich. It's those that lust after, go after, chase the carrot, if you will. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. What happens? They fall into a lot of problems. Deceitful thing. We've got to be careful. When we deceive ourselves, we say, John says, we have no sin. 1 John 1:8, we say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. That's not we blatantly say, well, I'm not a sinner. No, it's that we are convicted, but we say, I don't think I did anything wrong. I do that often. I don't think I did that. Well, I'll be fine. No, we deceive ourselves. Secondly, we deceive ourselves. We think too highly of ourselves. Galatians 6:3, If a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. We know that. Romans 12 goes on to say the same. A man think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He thinks soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. And it takes inventory every single day of our lives to sit down or kneel down, whatever you do, and say to God, God, I want to know what you want me to do. I humble myself before you. I'm asking you, God, to reveal to me where I'm at. I'm in position. No, never mind what they said. Never mind what their relationship with Christ is. How am I? Never mind what's happening over there. My mom and dad, my sisters, brothers, cousins, they may be wayward. What about me, Lord? What about me? That's what I want. Deceive ourselves. Deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves when we think we shall not reap what we sow. Reap what we sow. The story of the old Quaker, the Quaker guy. He was in his house. I always think of the Quakers. I always think of the guy on the cover of Quaker Oats, don't you? The Quaker guy was in his house one day, and he heard a guy rustling around in his living room at night. So he came down the stairs with his 12-gauge shotgun. He came down, and he saw the guy, and he pointed it at him, and the robber saw him, turned around, and did this, and he said, I mean thee no harm, my friend, but you are standing where I'm about to shoot. Isn't that true, though? We sometimes deceive ourselves. Why are we over there? We're going to get in trouble. We're standing where he's about to shoot. And you think about so many people, well, I can't believe I fell into this problem, got all these issues. And we were talking with a fellow on the job site just this week. And boy, he was just telling us all of his problem, how he can't get out of it, how he can't just, seems like there's problems just chasing him. And I said to my dad, I said, what? Evil pursueth sinners. Evil pursueth. You think about it. Pray for that man. Hopefully he'll be saved. But we think about, we can deceive ourselves. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap. He shall reap. And so we deceive ourselves, we think we're religious, and we're not. I have several things here. We deceive ourselves when we hear the word, but don't do it. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's where we deceive ourselves. We're a hearer, but not a doer. As Christians, we have that danger, don't we? I do myself. I hear the word, I try and preach the word and teach the word, but I don't do the word. I'm a deceiver. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a hypocrite. You have to be careful. Now, let me say thirdly very quickly here, and we will be done this morning, but we think about, thirdly, not only first do we have an adversary that's seeking to deceive us, we can deceive our own selves. It can be self-imposed, but thirdly, deception is avoided by the truth and the word of God. Now, again, only the inspired word of God can reveal and defeat this adversary's lies. The problem is you and I make the Bible say just about anything we want it to say. Anything we want it to say. We know that. We can take the scriptures and we can twist the scriptures. Second Peter, as he's concluding his letter, there, he says some will wrest the scriptures. They'll wrestle, twist it to fit their own theology or ideology, don't they? We have that all the time around us. All the time. And they'll take it. Joseph Smith took the Bible and he twisted the scriptures to make it fit his theology, right? Charles Taze Russell took the Bible, twisted it to fit his own theology. Today, one of the largest cults in America, Jehovah's Witnesses. And that's what they do. And we think about it. They twist it. They twist. You know that. Jim Jones took the Bible. And by the way, Jim Jones, he preached the Bible. Have you ever listened to him? He was a phenomenal preacher. Anyone ever listen to him? He has some of his recorded messages. You can find him on YouTube and stuff. He was a phenomenal preacher. I mean, he would preach hard, hard, and people just fascinated. But what'd he do? He took a little truth and mixed it with a little lie, twisted it. Well, we all need to drink the Kool-Aid tonight. Okay, good idea. I'm being very funny. I shouldn't joke about that. But, they do that. They twist it. And that's what happens. You can take the Bible and make it say what you want it to say. You and I must use the Bible and use it to prove against false doctrine or show people the truth. False teachers will do this. Let the Bible teach you the truth. God wants you to believe. Know what the Bible says. You must be born again, obviously. You know that. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And again, can I encourage you to pray daily for spiritual discernment? I want discernment, Lord. You can have it. You can have it. And think about it. You must be born again. Thinking, you must maintain its teachable spirit. Psalm 139, we read a couple weeks ago, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Holy Spirit is our teacher. He'll guide you. Jesus said in John 14, I'll send the Comforter, the Spirit of God. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Those early apostles, I couldn't imagine. They said, well, how are we going to remember all that you told us? He said, don't worry. I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll remind you. And then again, they completed the Scriptures and gave us the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He guides us. If you'll allow it, if you're a saved person today, he'll allow, and you allow the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, you know that. He'll guide you into all truth. 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted of the Lord, that the Lord is gracious. So we see it. And then lastly here, let me say this. You must continue in the word. Continue. So many of us know the word, but continue. Continue. Hide God's word. Continue in the word. Keep going at it. Keep reading it. We have a tendency, if you're like me, to read the Bible through in the year and then go, okay, I got it. And then for the next year, year and a half, you don't read the Bible through again. Man, it's hard to do. Reading the Bible through is very difficult. It's an exercise. It's a challenge, but we ought to be doing it. That's why he's saying continue. Keep in it. Stay focused. John 8:31, you know that. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hide God's word in your heart. Meditate upon the word of God. Use God's word. Hebrews 5:13, he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a baby. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible gives us discernment. You know that. To detect Satan's lies, we have a lie detector right here, right here. To evaluate the world around you and direct your steps. You don't have to falter and fall. You don't. Beware of deception. Take heed to yourselves, Moses said, Deuteronomy 11. Take heed that you be not deceived. You turn aside to any other gods, you're going to be deceived. Any other way of truth, you're going to be deceived. Hands down. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible's opinion. That's God's opinion. You go anywhere else, you're going to be deceived. Don't be deceived. You will fall. Now notice, by ending here, let me close with this verse. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, strengthen yourself, be ready, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Notice this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So we think about sanctify, get close to God, get right with him if need be, and be ready and prepared, because tomorrow, you know that, as he says in 2 Corinthians 11, there will come deceivers into your life. Deception. Careful what you listen to, careful what you watch, careful where you go, careful where you are personally. Be careful, because there's deceivers and he will deceive you. He's actively seeking to deceive the very elect, the saved individuals. All right. Hope that was a help to you and a blessing today. And God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you back here tonight, this evening at 6 o'clock. Thank you for being so faithful once again. All right. Stay faithful to God. Amen. Lord, thank you again for your grace and opportunity to share your word. I do pray that you'd help us all, Lord. And Father, help us to strengthen ourselves. As he says there in 1 Peter, gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, hope to the end. Be ready and prepared every day. Father, we don't know what's coming. We know that there's a master deceiver. We know, secondly, Lord, we can impose self-deception. We know, thirdly, Father, that it's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that will keep us. They're the lie detectors for us, Lord. They'll keep us away from that deception. They'll give us the discernment we need, that we don't have to falter and fall. As he says, there is a baby that unable to discern. We pray for your help today. Guide us this day. Thank you for allowing us to meet together. And we are being obedient to thy word, and you will bless us because of that. We love and thank you, God, once again, in your precious name, Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.